has happened in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route.
There's numerous people running up the hill along Elm Street, there by the Simmons Freeway. Several police officers are rushing up the hill at this time. Stand by just a moment, please. Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting. Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
Attention all squad, the suspect in the shooting at Elm in Houston is reported to be an unknown white male, approximately 30, slender build, height 5 feet 10 inches, weight 165 pounds, reported to be armed with what is thought to be a 30 caliber rifle.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
People have been given, but I emphatically deny these charges.
You killed the president?
No, I have not been charged with that. In fact, nobody has said that to me yet. The first thing I heard about it was when the newspaper reporters in the hall asked me that question.
Concern for the safety of your prisoner?
No, I don't think that the people are trying to take the prisoner away from us.
Being let out by Captain Fritz. There is a prisoner.
There is Lee Oswald.
He's been shot. He's been shot. Lee Oswald has been shot. There's a man with a gun. Absolute panic. Absolute panic here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Detectives have their guns drawn. Oswald has been shot. There is no question about it. Oswald has been shot.
Mr. Oswald died at 1:07 our time in the operating room of the gunshot wound which he had received.
Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. The House Oversight Committee's Task Force on the Declassification of Federal Secrets held a hearing on Tuesday, April 1st, on the release of former President John F. Kennedy's assassination records. The last two episodes, we've been covering some of the highlights of this very important hearing. Last week, we heard sworn testimony from filmmaker Oliver Stone, whose 1992 movie JFK rekindled interest in Kennedy's assassination. In today's episode, we're going to hear both Stone and author and researcher James DiEugenio answer questions from the GOP Oversight Committee on why they think the CIA was responsible for JFK's murder.
I now recognize myself for some questions. Mr. Morley, why do you say that the Oswald file was sitting on the desk of James Angleton a week before the assassination? Can you really prove that?
Yes, I can. In the Oswald file, on page 254 and on page 275, you'll see a routing slip on two FBI reports about Oswald. And on November 15th, 1963, and November 14th, 1963, you'll see the initials J.A.R. on the routing slip. That stands for Jane Atherton Roman. She was the liaison officer for Mr. Angleton. So when she signed for those two FBI reports, we have proof positive that they were on Mr. Angleton's desk.
Are you saying that the three men, Angleton, Helms, and Joannides, plotted to kill the president?
No, I am not saying that. I'm saying that they were engaged in covert activities related to Lee Harvey Oswald that have never been disclosed. And that's the imperative for the task force, to obtain those records of that secret operation.
Real quick, I'd like to enter into the record a document that was actually one of these declassified documents of the CIA rejecting the lone gunman theory. Without objection, so ordered. Mr. Morley, who was George Joannides, and why do you emphasize the importance of getting this file?
George Joannides was a career CIA officer. In 1963, he was chief of the covert action branch of the Miami Station. His agents had contact with Oswald before the assassination. His agents in the top secret program, AMSPEL, generated propaganda about Oswald's pro-Castro activities both before and after the assassination. When Mr. Joannides was questioned by congressional investigators here on Capitol Hill in 1978, he was asked who was running these Cuban students who had all this contact with Oswald. The investigators had no idea that they were looking at the answer to their question. And Mr. Joannides, who had been running that Cuban student group, told congressional investigators, "I don't know. I'll get back to you." That was obstruction of Congress. That was an obstruction of an investigation of the president's assassination. His records have never been fully released by the Central Intelligence Agency, and they obviously should be.
Mr. Morley, you actually had written an article specifically addressing a whistleblower that had reports at the CIA potentially showing information that Oswald was in Mexico City. Can you speak more to that?
I was approached a few years ago by a man who had worked inside the CIA, had a very high security clearance. And in 2018, he came to me and said he was concerned that there was a JFK assassination document that he had read while he was working at the CIA, and he was afraid that it would never become public. The man was taking considerable legal risk by talking to me. He was talking about classified or potentially classified information. So I published his story last year without his name, which is not something that I usually do. I don't like stories with anonymous sources, but I felt that it was important to get out, and he felt it was important too. I have spoken with him, and he says he is willing to come public and tell his name under his own story with assurances that he will not face legal retaliation. I hope that's something that can be arranged in the near future.
Thank you. Mr. Stone, if you could for a moment, you had mentioned earlier about some anomalies in the autopsy. Would you be able to speak to that? I have about a minute and 19 left.
One of the things that we did in our documentary, JFK Revisited in 2021, was show as much as we could about the autopsy, including the fact that there are 40 people still alive, as far as I know, who witnessed at Parkland and at Bethesda a large gaping wound in the back of President Kennedy's right head, indicating a shot from the front that blew out the rear of his, and they all point, if you look, there's a picture, they all point to the same place on camera, right here, in the back of his head. That's one very disturbing point. Additionally, There's a lot of inconsistencies in what was seen and done. The tracking of the bullet, the concept of a magic bullet, which deserves a lot of your reexamination. And I think Jim is more expert in this than I. If I can point to him, he's my researcher.
Well, thank you. I'm sure that will be in the next line of questioning. I'd like to now recognize Mr. Garcia for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you again to our witnesses for all of your testimony. I just want to run a few questions that might bring some clarity on some of the opening statements. And I do want to just recognize also and restate the concerns that we should all have about overclassification over the last few decades, especially when it came to the CIA and the FBI. Mr. Morley, I know you didn't say this explicitly in your testimony. I just want to clarify. I think it's good for the record. Now, we know that your research, of course, is very focused on what the U.S. government knew about Lee Harvey Oswald. I think you made that also very clear. You believe Lee Harvey Oswald fired the shots who killed President Kennedy. Is that correct, sir?
No, I don't believe that President Lee Harvey Oswald shot President Kennedy. No, I don't think the evidence supports that.
You don't think the evidence supports that he fired the shots?
He might have fired a gun. He was not the intellectual author of the president's death.
Okay, and I wanted to clarify, because I think the firing of the shots, I just wanted to clarify that you do believe that he fired the shots.
No, I don't. Okay. That has not been determined by the evidence.
Okay, well, I want to just get you to clarify that. Now, I want to also just say a few points. Mr. Morley, you have said that the CIA was not forthcoming with Congress in past investigations, correct, sir?
Yes.
Okay. I know you have said that you have said that CIA counterintelligence was also either new information or could have been responsible in some sort of broader plot. Is that correct, sir?
Correct.
Okay. But you have said, I think, just to correct what you said, you have said, though, that there is no direct evidence as of today that the CIA committed the assassination. Is that correct?
I would say that the fact pattern that has emerged in last month shows culpability or complicity in the president's death.
But no direct evidence. Is that correct, sir?
We have very direct evidence of the CIA's surveillance of Oswald.
No, I'm not asking about that. I agree with you, sir. I mean, direct evidence that the CIA is connected to the assassination.
All of these events connect the CIA to the assassination.
And I understand that, sir. I'm just telling you my interpretation of what's been presented is that I have not seen direct evidence. I'm not saying, by the way, that there haven't been, that the CIA or the FBI haven't been involved in a variety of covering up information in the past. We know that to be true. But I just want to make sure that I'm very clear that I have not seen direct evidence yet.
Okay.
Thank you. I want to just recognize again, the overclassification issue is an issue, and I appreciate that clarification. I also think it's important that we're very clear with the public that no one should be defending the CIA or the FBI, particularly from this period of time. I think they were involved in very questionable practices, not just on this issue, but on a variety of issues, so I understand that. I want to also just so that I note that we should follow, of course, the facts wherever they go. Mr. Morley, in the run-up to this hearing, I know that there was some public reporting about this video that has been referenced. It's never before seen video of the shooting. That video itself is not a secret. I mean, JFK researchers have known about this video for a few years. Is that correct?
For decades, yes.
Okay. And the film is not definitive about Oswald's whereabouts at the time of the incident.
No, it is not.
Okay, and it's not regarded as overly important by serious JFK researchers. Would you agree with that?
Correct.
Okay, and it has never been a factor in major analysis in the causes of JFK's assassination. Is that also correct?
Not in mine and not in any of the researchers I work with.
Okay, thank you. And I think it's important to clarify that because I think there's a lot of speculation and interest in the video, but I think we should be very clear about what the video actually is. Also, I know as it relates to the rollout of the JFK files, it also included a lot of, I think, personal information. And Mr. Davison, I just want to turn to you for a minute. One of my concerns, has been that a lot of personal information was actually released and has actually caused harm to certain folks. Can you just kind of speak to some of the concerns about the way that was released? That would be helpful.
Sure. So the National Archives was aware, as was the National Security Council from public reporting, that these records contained a substantial amount of personal information, including Social Security numbers, which are consistently redacted in public records requests and in prior disclosures under the JFK Records Act, proceeded to complete this rollout with a sort of abrupt 24-hour deadline at the end, without taking the steps that are ordinarily taken to redact that information and to ensure that privacy is protected. And as I indicated in my initial statement, there's a whole host of harms that can come from that. Obviously, it's deeply inconvenient for your Social Security number to be published. It is, you know, the White House has said they will issue new Social Security numbers, but there's a lot of harm that can happen in the meantime. And updating that information for an individual is tremendously
complicated. Thank you. My time is concluded. So I just want to add to that point that as we declassify and work with the archives and others, we've got to make sure that people's personal information, of course, isn't being used in a way that's negative and conducts their family. So thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Mr. Garcia. And I will now recognize myself for 5 minutes. First of all, I want to say thank you to all of our witnesses who are here today. I also believe I want to say that the American people deserve transparency, not just on JFK files, MLK, Epstein list, all the things. I also want to say I'm grateful to President Trump for keeping good on his promise for transparency. This is a man who literally also took a bullet for his country. And I agree with you, Mr. Stone, on your testimony and your opening statement. Giving our country, giving our democracy meaning and a purpose for a nation, and that to me personally means getting to the bottom of the truth, getting the truth out of whatever three-letter agency is hiding information, whether it's from Congress, whether it's from the American people. But sunshine literally is the best medicine. And we've just seen over the last few years, regardless of your politics, but we saw 51 intelligence leaders sign a letter saying the Hunter Biden laptop was fake. Turns out that was a cover-up. We saw a presidential candidate in Donald Trump spied on by the political opposition. We saw Biden's health care, his health. The previous administration lied to the American people about the president's health. They called his falling down cheap fakes. We saw the origins of COVID covered up by a government. We saw documents after documents, hidden from the American people. Donald Trump was treated differently when they found documents at Mar-a-Lago versus the way Joe Biden was treated when they found documents in his garage. The government tried to cover it up, tried to cover from him. We were lied to about drones just in the last few months. And so when we talk about this, the deep state, not only was it around during JFK's assassination, but it's here today. It is right before our eyes. And they are doing this in real time with regards to the Epstein list, which the government still has not released today. And the American people deserve to know who rich and powerful is on that list and who the government is covering up for. So for decades, we've seen this happen, and I'll get to a few questions. Mr. Morley, I want to start with you first. You said, according to your testimony, in asking, what did the CIA know and when did they know it? What do you think that is? What is the answer to that question?
I want to preface my remarks by saying I'm a liberal Democrat, and I don't shy away from that. That's part of my reporting, and that's part of my reputation for straight shooting. What did the president, what did the CIA know about Lee Harvey Oswald, and when did they know it?
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot. 198 pages worth of information were on the CIA's desk when President Kennedy left for Dallas. So that foundational fact should guide us in understanding what happened.
So who do you think fired the shot?
I don't know.
You don't know, but you don't believe it was Lee Harvey Oswald?
Oswald was not the intellectual author of Kennedy's death, even if he fired a gun that day.
Who do you think was the intellectual author of Kennedy's death?
Kennedy's enemies high in his own government is as specific as I can be based on the available evidence. Mm-hmm. Probably CIA and Pentagon.
How long had the CIA been surveying Lee Harvey Oswald before the assassination attempt?
4 years.
4 years. And what are some of the highlights of the CIA's pre-assassination file on Lee Harvey Oswald?
They started reading his mail on November 9th, 1959, and they intercepted a number of letters between him and his mother. Those letters were forwarded to James Angleton in the summer of 1962. In the summer of 1963, Oswald attempted to infiltrate the CIA's favorite Cubans in New Orleans. He was arrested. The FBI sent reports on Oswald's arrest to Angleton's staff. They knew that he had attempted to infiltrate a CIA-funded group, that he had been arrested. And then they learned that he had attempted to travel to Cuba, a violation of U.S. law at the time, and he had made contact with a KGB officer in Mexico City.
Okay, Mr. Morley, did the CIA or FBI have intelligence prior to the assassination of President Kennedy that Lee Harvey Oswald intended to kill him?
No.
Did the FBI did not either?
No.
No one did?
So what are my takeaways from the congressional hearing regarding the JFK assassination? The JFK assassination is complicated and requires a deep understanding, which can be tough for Congress members who need to ask important questions. This shows that we need a new investigation to create a complete report based on the declassified records about the assassination. Oliver Stone's request for this investigation during his testimony emphasizes its importance.
I asked the committee to reopen what the Warren Commission failed miserably to complete. I ask you in good faith, outside all political considerations, to reinvestigate the assassination of this President Kennedy from the scene of the crime to the courtroom, which means the chain of custody on the rifle, the bullets, the fingerprints, the autopsy that defies belief, and that if it were a murder, we'd have given to the poorest man dying in a gutter. Let us reinvestigate the fingerprints of intelligence all over Lee Harvey Oswald from 1959 to 1960, his violent death in 1963. And most importantly, this CIA, whose muddy footprints are all over this case, a true interrogation. James Angleton, before he died, who was one of the original members of the CIA, was talking about Dulles and Helms and the others, what he called the Grand Masters. And he's a Catholic. Angleton was a Catholic in search, perhaps, of repentance before his death. He did say, quote, if you were in a room with them, you were in a room full of people that you had to believe would deservedly end up in hell. I guess I will see them soon. This is our democracy. This is our presidency. It belongs to us. Treat us with respect. Thank you.
The way congressional hearings are set up, with each member only getting 5 minutes, doesn't really allow for a detailed discussion of the case. I think there are better ways to handle this issue. Journalist Jefferson Morley, known for his honesty, made a strong claim that Lee Harvey Oswald did not kill President Kennedy. He also revealed that three CIA officers, Richard Helms, James Angleton, and George Ioannidis, lied under oath about Oswald, and that's significant. There is a shared interest in finding important information from the newly released records, which is an ongoing effort. Many of these documents were previously hidden, so we need to get the original documents to fully understand the new information. This process takes time and careful attention, but we're getting there. If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon, or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. In honor of the release of the JFK assassination records, I'm sending out signed copies of my book. If you would like one of these, please email me at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. The price is $40 for the soft cover and $60 for the hardcover, plus shipping and handling. I can promise you won't be disappointed in the book. It's an oversized coffee table style book. The book is over 500 pages with almost 1,000 pictures. You won't be disappointed. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.